Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
One ten in the afternoon, 720 WGN. Thank you, Bob Kessler. God, it's so nice to see you.
Well,
and
thank you.
Craig,
too.
And it's Andre Darlis. I'm here with Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
We're going to be with you guys for the next 2 hours, and
yeah.
It's awesome to see you. I see you. I used to see you coming in
when I
was coming in and you
and
were
I was
leaving because you co-host with Nick and traffic overnight. So we were on total opposite ends.
Sailing ships.
And now we're finding out kind of, you know, each other's lives when we sleep, when we go to bed. But we're both here in the daytime when we usually start in the morning on the Cochran
Show.
It's
dark.
It's dark.
And it's already dark for me.
And the guys like to keep the lights down in the studio.
I don't understand that. So I need them all the way up.
So it stays dark, you know, through pretty much the whole show, and then the sun comes up. But are you a napper?
No.
You go home, you go right to bed.
I go right to bed, and then I just stick it out. I drink a lot of coffee.
Oh, you do?
Lots of coffee.
Okay. I used to do that. Now I try and do like a cup or two max.
No, I go crazy. Like, I've already had two.
Oh,
I can tell. I got here at noon.
Yeah.
I got here about noon. I've already had two cups of coffee.
Wow. 312-981-7200 is our number. Call anytime. We're going to have a little fun today. We're going to be talking about each other's sleep habits. No, but I'm a big napper. Mary Vandevelde and I get into this all the time because I work until about 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I go home. I have to take a nap. I'm a napper.
How long do you nap? That's the important bit.
Okay. That's a great question. In the wintertime, sometimes 2 hours, 2.5.
Really? And you wake up fine?
I wake up okay, a little groggy, but then I get up and I try and work out. So I do the workout.
Try?
Yeah, I do.
The operative word?
I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to train for the Shamrock Shuffle.
Oh.
So I'm trying to run, walk, do the elliptical. So that kind of gets me going. And by then I'm awake and then it's time for dinner and I stay up much later than I should.
Are you a runner? Like in general?
Never, ever. I hate to run.
So this is your first time?
This is my first time.
Oh, that's exciting.
And literally, I've been doing it for 2 weeks, and I've just complained every day.
No, that would be me, too. I tried to run, and I can't do it. I hate it. I hate it so much.
No, I don't mind. You bike. I like to bike.
Yeah, but you sit.
Yeah.
You see, your butt's on a seat the entire time, and your legs are just moving. And you can stop moving your legs, and you'll still keep going. You can't do that when you're running.
Right, at least you're sitting, you know?
Right.
I'm telling you, I don't know if it's my age, but my legs, just from running, and then you get a day of rest, too.
Oh.
So Friday's a rest day.
Just one?
Yeah, one rest day.
No, that doesn't work.
And I'm finding myself looking forward to the rest day, but my legs are killing me. And Pete McMurray this week, he said you got to stretch and drink a lot of water.
Yep.
But I'm not one of these people who just loves to work out.
I really wish I was, but I can't deal with that.
I can't either. I'm not a fan.
I need it to do something.
Yeah.
That's why the biking works for me, because I used to bike into work.
You did.
So that was, you know, I was getting somewhere. I wasn't just sitting
you had a goal.
In a stationary place and just like, yeah, for an hour I did this. It's like, but I went nowhere.
You had somewhere to be,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, at least it takes me somewhere.
Yeah, I see people, you know, and this is a great conversation to have about gym etiquette. There's a gym in my building, and I know we have one here at the radio station.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, everybody's there to work out, but you get the people. Isn't it funny when you see, you know, and I'm not saying it's always the guys, but they're trying to lift more than they really should be, and you hear the, you know, the grunting.
Oh, I thought they did that just anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
Regardless of what weight they're picking up. It's always that.
It's a 5 pound.
Yeah. I just thought that was an automatic noise that just would happen when you pick things up.
Then there's the gym talker. You know, do you have those? Do you see those guys too?
What is that?
And I say guys because it's mainly men. I'm sorry, gentlemen out there. So you're, say, doing the elliptical, whatever. A guy walks in, sees another guy, and they're like, dude, what's up? And they have to start talking, and then there's a conversation.
Ugh, no.
And then,
I don't like people. So that would be, I'd be like, no, no, no. I'm putting my headphones in. Don't talk to me.
See, you're hilarious because you're so social and you're so friendly.
I know, right?
But you don't like people.
Oh, I had so many jobs that were people-based. Like, that's all you would do, be talking to people. And I was just like, oh, why do I do this to myself? I hate people.
So you get a job on the radio then.
Right. See, because I can talk to people, but I don't see them in front of me.
You're behind the
mic.
So
it's fine.
Then.
Yeah.
It's great.
The imaginary crowd.
I love learning different habits. I love learning that there are people quirkier than me, so that's a good thing.
Well, that's good.
That is a good thing.
No, and then there's normal people. This is what I see. I go, Andrea, she's normal.
Yeah, until you find out I take 3-hour naps in the afternoon.
No, that's fine. No, that's totally fine. As long as you don't wake up groggy, because I wake up like a bear in a cave, real angry when I take a nap.
And what time do you go to bed?
6 a.m.
You go to bed at 6 a.m. Yeah. You're up at 2 p.m. then?
Sometimes.
Okay.
See, four, that's what. 4, 5.
Yeah. See, my, again, I'm
tired.
Total opposite. I come home from the show, come home from work about 1, sleep till about 3, and then I go to bed sometime between 10 and 11, which I know
I used to work mornings, and that's what I did, the same thing. Yeah. I hated it.
It's hard to go to bed.
I couldn't deal with it. Yeah. Because I thought I was missing out on things.
Yeah, see, that's another thing.
Like,
too.
People are having fun and I'm not.
Right. They're all having dinner and I'm not. Hey, speaking of fun, I was at the auto show last night for First Look.
When did it start?
It starts today. Today was the official open.
Yes.
The governor was there. The mayor was there. I highly encourage anybody and everybody out there to check out the auto show. It is so cool. It's so much fun. It used to just be, you know, you go see the cars and that's great. But it's so family friendly now. And there's so many neat things to see. You've been.
Yeah. They got the things where you get to drive the cars, which frightens me.
We did that.
Over hills and things. How did you do?
Did you drive? Well, they didn't. There was, it was First Look last night. So there was a lot of free alcohol and free food. So they didn't let us drive.
They're like, even though it's in a closed area, we don't want you behind this car.
They didn't let us drive. They had a representative. And there was like, it was from Dodge and Jeep. And there were different car companies that were hosting this.
Yeah.
It is so cool, though, to get into the car and you're able to, you know, basically do a test drive while you're in the passenger seat or in the back seat, like I was in a Fiat. And there's a little...
that's my dream car, Fiat.
You would love this because you get to go in and then they take you around this little obstacle course and then they hit the gas to show you how fast it can go.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they slam on the brakes. But the cool thing is, you know... Because this is what they're advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fly forward. You know, the brakes are so good and so solid that you barely
lift
off.
Yeah, I need that
seat.
Car.
You would love
I'm
it.
I'm a bit of a, like a lead foot.
They would. You'd love it. So yesterday was the media, the First Look for charity. Family Day is on Monday. And then they have Women's Day, which is Wednesday. Women are going to be admitted for $7.
Nice.
And there's special programs on the purchase and lease of cars and maintenance. So Women's Day is on Wednesday. And then they have the auto show food drive, which is also Wednesday as well. If you bring 3 cans of food, you get a coupon and you only have to pay $7 to get in.
Very nice. And then also I should do my traffic duty.
Yeah.
There's plenty of parking for everyone. I know it's a little hectic right now. I am watching the traffic and it's pretty heavy, but don't let that deter you. Because there is people stationed around most of the exits around McCormick Place to direct you where to go. And they will tell you, you know, this is full or go this way, go around that way. Because there's a lot of construction going on right now over there.
Right.
So, but don't let that deter you. Yeah. There's plenty of parking. There's parking in Millennium Park. And they have shuttles and CTA. Take the CTA. I know you're going to the auto show. But wait, buy the car and then, but take the CTA there.
Right, take the CTA. It's so true, though. Go. I highly encourage it. We got to see some of the cars last night. They have a Lego Batmobile, which our producer Craig, I know, got to see that. You got to see that earlier in the week, right, Craig?
Oh, yeah, the Batmobile is awesome.
Oh, it's
so cool.
It's
a full-sized Lego Batmobile from the Lego movie that's coming out or did come out this weekend.
Yeah.
Can you get inside it?
No.
Oh.
It's all the Legos are together, and I asked that several times. Could I get in that car or, like, lay on top of the car for a photo? Everything was a
no. Can you imagine? No. You lay on top of it, and then it just shatters?
Oh, my God.
And then they're like, you have to put it back together.
Oh, that would be forever. It would take forever. Yeah. I don't know how long it took to build it. But.
Somebody this week, I think it was McMurray, and he said, remember when we used to have Legos as kids and they were just bricks? You know, now they have all these cool different pieces to form the like a Batmobile. This was super cool to see.
I would think that the Batmobile, they can make it from just the bricks.
And some of the wheels, too. I won't give too much away. You have to see it. And like Craig said, it's full size. You know, it looks like you could get into it, but
you should
not gonna let you into it.
In a Batman Lego suit.
I'm not kidding you. People were taking pictures, right, of all the cars. There was a longer line in front of the Batmobile than any other
well,
thing
yeah,
on display.
It's the Batmobile.
Except maybe the stormtroopers. There's like a mirror that you can.
That's the coolest thing,
yeah,
in my opinion. The little stormtrooper thing, and then you can take your helmet off, and it's a little digital thing.
Ooh.
It's amazing.
There was a long line for that, too. And then they have a virtual reality as well, so it looks like you're riding a bicycle up in the air. Like
oh,
E.T.
I want to go. Let's
yeah.
go.
Go.
Forget the
Let's
show.
Do Let's do it. Women's Day on Wednesday, and Family Day is on Monday. All right, it's Esmeralda Leon, Andrea Darlis. We are with you until 3 o'clock, and we'll have some more fun after this, 720 WGN. 1:23 in the afternoon, 720 WGN. Andrea Darlis, Esmeralda Leon with you until 3 o'clock. Do you have a bucket list? Do you have
sort
like,
of
things that you want to do? I don't want to say before you die, but maybe just things that you want to accomplish?
Yeah, a little bit. I want to do some more traveling. They're very vague.
Yeah.
Bucket list ideas, you know, lose a couple pounds,
yeah.
travel.
That's not a bucket list, right?
Well, you know. But I sent you this article, and this girl has it on lock. She's this 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And she has her own bucket list, but it's amazing. Some of it is eat a hammerhead shark, snake, and bear. I didn't know you could eat those. But cool.
I've had snake. I've had rattlesnake.
No, gross.
Yeah, it was so gross. It was like calamari. It was in Arizona.
How was it chewy or what's the...
Very chewy. It was, yeah, it was like really tough tasting calamari.
See, I feel like if they make it right, it could be good. Although I don't think you can eat hammerhead sharks. I think they're endangered.
Yeah.
Just FYI, kid.
I agree. I would think the grizzly...
You can eat those.
Not the ones in Montana, because those are probably already on the endangered species list.
Black bears? But can you eat some black bears?
I think that would be endangered too, right?
I don't know. There's got to be a bear that you can eat.
There used to be a meat, not even a deli.
Like
but,
wild meat?
Yeah, a wild gaming.
Game, there you go.
Yeah, in Lockport. And they had, well,
did
back,
a bear?
They had everything. I want to say it's some sort of lion or tiger meat. Which,
see, that doesn't seem right.
No, I agree.
I don't think that was kosher.
It doesn't even sound good.
Literally.
And I wouldn't even put right. I wouldn't even put on my bucket list to eat weird meat.
I would eat weird meat if it was made by someone good.
Like you if mean someone like just, emerald or
yeah, like if someone just was like, here, have some snake. I'd be like, how'd you make it? What like But I'm not just going to eat it, just outright.
If, like, Bobby Flay came in.
Yeah, and he sautéed it and threw in some spice or whatever. Yeah, I would totally eat that.
Made you lion. But this was a really interesting story that you sent. What else is on her bucket list?
Get a blobfish, a Kalo koala. Mind you, she's 10, so she might not know what these things,
okay.
like, how to spell them. Sloth and flingo. I don't know what a flingo is.
I don't either.
But I'm with her on the sloth and a koala, although I can hear they'll rip your face off. So
yeah, koalas can be mean.
They have very big nails.
And when they get nervous, they pee on you.
Oh, cool.
So just be
aware
of that.
My dog used to do that, so it's fine.
You're used to it.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
This is funny. Yeah, so this little girl was making up the bucket list. What else is on there?
Get a sign that said something in a different language, then on March 12th, 2019, I will translate it. That is quite... A goal.
That's kind of interesting because what if it's Swahili or Turkish or some?
I'm just like, I love that she has a set date. And then I'm assuming, like, does she want the sign written years in advance? And then she will learn to translate it? Or is she going to learn this language and then go, yeah, I can translate a sign for you.
Write anything. That's a lot of time. 2 years.
Actually, I mean, almost... she's 10. She's got a lot of time on her hands.
But she's got the internet.
That too. But, you know, it sounds like she wants to work towards whatever language it is.
These are really cute. What was the one? Yeah. Was there a Taco Bell one too?
Yeah. Oh, this one's, she's right here in my heart. Eat 10 Taco Bell Dorito tacos. And then, so that was number 6. Number 7 is win a Taco Bell Dorito taco eating contest.
That's hilarious.
So I'm assuming one is prep for the Taco Bell eating contest.
That's awesome. I would assume that means all in one sitting too.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 at once.
Yeah, you got to eat 10 at once. And then, I mean, I think she's going to have to eat more to win that Taco Bell eating contest.
I love a good Taco Bell. That is my, I know it's terrible, right?
That you is, had this thing, the Dorito taco?
It's awesome.
Is it?
I find myself,
I haven't had it.
Do you do this as I get older? You know, I'll do something like, you know, I don't know, finish a long day of work and I'll go, oh, I'm going to treat myself. And it's going to be something nasty like a Taco Bell.
See, no, I go high end.
Oh, you do?
I go high end.
You go to RL and have oysters.
I go, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I also, and this is the lovely Honey Butter Fried Chicken brought us some food today.
Yes.
I treat myself with Honey Butter Fried Chicken.
We are going to talk about this honey butter too.
Yeah.
No, this is awesome.
It is so good. You guys, 3361 North Elston, here in the city. It's so good. They dropped off some food for us, but they're doing Valentine's Day specials.
Yes.
A ramen fried chicken noodle dish for
Yum.
Your love.
Or for you.
Because nothing says love like ramen.
Or for you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Or for yourself. Treat yourself.
Absolutely.
See, that's what I think Valentine's Day is. You treat yourself.
I totally agree. And I love this little bucket list. This was on distractify.com if you want to read it. A little 10-year-old girl rounding out the top 10. She said, sleep for 24 hours.
Which I think I've done.
I've never done
that. Check
it
off. Check it off the list.
Sleep for 24 hours. And the last one?
Pet a cheetah. I think you can do that.
Why shouldn't we all pet a cheetah?
Right? I want to pet a cheetah.
We'll be back after this on WGN. 137, 720 WGN. Thank you, Bob Kessler, Esmeralda Leon, Andrea Narlis, with you until 3 o'clock today. All right, we have to do a little bit of some hard news, as we like to call it. Immigration raids. I know we've been hearing a lot about that this morning. These raids were conducted in at least 6 states that we know of. Immigration authorities overnight arresting hundreds of undocumented immigrants in half a dozen states this week alone in a series of raids. Now, this was really the first large-scale enforcement of President Trump's order that he signed on January 25th to crack down on about 11 million immigrants living here illegally. Want to be clear, too, that the raids targeted known criminals. So this was not something where officers or DEA was going into people's homes and just randomly checking for green cards and visas and IDs and things like that. These were known criminals. But many who were arrested, if not most, were in fact here illegally.
Right.
So that's right. Part of that.
Although, on the other hand, I'm looking at the article, and they're saying at least in LA they're doing seminars for people to know your rights.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, I mean, you should know them. Just either way,
yeah.
Know your rights when someone's gonna. Especially when they're threatening to deport you.
Right.
You should know exactly.
You absolutely should. That's a great point. ABC News did a story a few days ago. I think it was day before yesterday. And there was a woman who came to the country when she was 14 years old illegally with her family and has been here her entire life, has, you know, paid taxes, has a job, has children here now who are almost grown children.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this was 30-plus years ago and is now fearing deportation. So you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're in a situation like that and you think, maybe you don't know, maybe someone like this who came here when you're young and you don't realize, you know, you need the paperwork, now's the time to get a lawyer. And there's so many lawyers out there now. I mean, we saw with the lawyers at the airport last week.
Yeah, with the
they do it
for protests.
Yeah. So again, Donald Trump pledging to deport about 3 million undocumented immigrants with criminal records, and many of these raids, as I said, they were of course here in Chicago, and then Atlanta, New York, L.A., North Carolina, and South Carolina. So these raids, I expect, will continue.
Yeah, and it's just really. I mean, it's really scary. I mean, it's scary in just the sense, even if. I mean, could you imagine just people coming at you, officials like that, and you don't know what's going on?
Do you remember, I mean, maybe you don't remember, the Elian Gonzalez story?
Yeah.
The little boy from Cuba, and he came here, and he ended up, they took him by force. I just keep seeing that kind of flash before me when we see a lot of these raids happening now.
Right.
Maybe it's just because we grew up with it and we're covering it, too, at the time. You know, you start seeing these. But, yeah, know your rights. Know what you need to do and get legal representation, because this isn't going to go away. Do you see this going away?
No. No, not at all. And
no.
This can be so traumatizing, I imagine, for not only the person being taken and by officials, but also the family, if they're among family and friends.
You know what's interesting about all this, too? My wife is very legal. She's now a citizen of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a fear when she walks around outside that someone's going to identify her, someone's going to try to do something bad to her.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly because of the rhetoric that came from the campaign and everything else that kind of created that level of fear for people that are completely legally in this country. But that's an interesting component, too, I see a lot.
Okay, now here's a question for you guys, too. So we're speaking mainly of people who are of Hispanic origin. What about Canadians? You know, there's a lot of people. I know I actually have friends who have dual citizenship, either from Canada and then came to the United States and have dual citizenship. Others do not. So should they fear, too?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also a thing of what color is your skin?
That has a lot to do with it.
Because they're not going to, you know, if you're from another country, they're not going to automatically assume if you look
blonde
hair, blue eyed, you know, they're not going to automatically assume you're not from this country.
I think that's a fear. That's a legitimate fear of somebody who maybe is Hispanic or, you know, not white. And they have this fear. I mean, Craig's wife, of course, like he just said.
I mean, even my my dad was in Guatemala just recently. He just came back on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, like, have you been watching the news? Mm-hmm. Just in case. And I even because I, you know, I do traffic with Patty on Patty's show. And I reached out to her. I was like, hey, do you know immigration lawyers just in case? Because I don't know what's going to happen. They might detain him. You never know.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. He wasn't. He's not from any of the seven countries from that travel ban. But still, it was a very real fear that I was like, oh, if he gets detained, what's going to happen? And he's a green. He has a green card. He's a permanent resident.
Right.
So, but it was still very, very much a fear.
That same thing. Friends of mine as well have nieces and nephews who were adopted from Mexico. Have their green cards. They're here legally, but anybody under my age is, I consider young, but in her early 20s and just married a man who does not have a green card.
Yeah.
So again, now that opens up a whole new can of worms. So it's just a different time. I mean, you have to know your rights. You have to be prepared for this now. I think maybe we thought this wouldn't happen, and it actually is happening now.
Right. And I just want to point out, 630 is saying, could you please state both sides?
Of course.
These are people with criminal charges. Yes, and they are.
That's what I said when I first read the story. Yeah. I said, the first thing you have to know that these raids targeted known criminals. 100%. Yeah. We're not going after just a person walking down the street. These are people who are, you know, they're going to be charged. They're going to be deported, or they're going to stay here and be charged. More than likely, they'll be deported. But again, it does, you can't argue, no matter what side you are on this, it does open up a whole new can of worms, because I personally never thought we'd be in a situation like this, where this would be happening. And it is.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I mean, again, it's very traumatizing. Just officials coming at you like that and, you know, just taking you somewhere. And a lot like you said, the case with the 14-year-old, she came here when she was 14.
Yeah.
I wonder, does she even have any connections?
Paperwork.
No, I just mean like where she was from.
Oh, you mean
like, is there people still there that she can, like, if she gets dropped off in Mexico or wherever, it's like, and now I don't know anyone here.
Well, that's true.
I didn't grow up here anymore.
That's a huge possibility, because they were trying to interview her on ABC World News Tonight, and they couldn't get to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, imagine that as well. She's been here all her life.
Yeah.
And now she does face being deported. And who do you know back in your home country? You're here when you're 14 years old.
Right.
I mean, so many of my relatives came here from Greece when they were younger. My grandfather came over when he was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told that story, and someone called in this week and said, we'll sign the guest book on the way in. Yes, I do. I agree. Absolutely. You know, if you and I wanted to move to France, we have to be French citizens. We have to.
Right.
Declare citizenship or file the paperwork. I do agree with that. Yes, you do. But then now we're talking about this group, like the woman who came here when she was very young and didn't know. You know, she grew up living in the United States.
Yeah,
and this is her home.
There's a lot of gray area. I find it fascinating when people are like, no, there's just black and white. And it's like, no, there isn't.
No.
There's a lot of gray.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray. 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in and have a discussion with us about this. Brad is an attorney, has a great point. Hi, Brad. Thanks for being with us.
Well, how are you this afternoon?
Very good, thank you. So now you're a lawyer and you have a client who's dealing with this issue?
I'm a criminal lawyer. I'm not an immigration lawyer. I'm a criminal lawyer, and I had one of my clients who had been convicted in the past of driving under the influence. When you don't have a driver's license because you don't have papers, so you can't get a driver's license, your first DUI actually is a felony rather than a misdemeanor.
Really?
And so that's just the way Illinois law is written. Mm-hmm. They charge it as a felony. So he was convicted, of course, of that first DUI, which was a felony, and he was picked up the day before yesterday and is now in the custody of the immigration people. They use the jails out in McHenry County, so he's actually in the McHenry County jail, probably going to be deported, and likely will be voluntarily deported.
Okay, meaning
once he had his felony, he was deported once.
Okay.
And then he re-entered the United States about 3 years ago. Well, if you do a voluntary departure, as they call it, you're barred from coming back into the country for 5 years. So if you come back in less than the 5 years, you've come in not following the program that you agreed to.
Okay, that makes sense. So can he ever come back, or is it kind of two strikes and you're out in this case?
this will actually now be a 10-year bar.
Okay, so he's barred for 10 years. If he decides, you know what, I'm going to wait it out. In 9.5 years, I'm going to file the paperwork. Can he come back in and try to become a citizen?
He, in concept,
okay.
I mean, he could. That conceptually, that's possible. The reality is that they come back. I mean, I have many clients. They come in. They need to work. They've got families here. And there's no opportunity to work in Mexico, for instance. And, I mean, I would be willing to bet that my client will be back in the country in less than a year. He'll make his way back in. Because he needs to work and support his family.
And his family's here.
His family's here.
Okay. Wow.
His children, because of course they're born here in the United States, they're American citizens.
Right.
Now they're small, but they are in fact American citizens.
Right, because they're born here.
Because they're born
here. Yeah. That's it. Brad, thank you so much for the insight. I appreciate it.
You know, the other thing I wanted to say, though, is about your 14-year-old girl, you know, who came and what have you. My client's getting deported or was deported because he's a felon.
Yeah,
so
right.
Your 14-year-old girl, I mean, she's like the poster child case, but her chances of being deported are really, really slim.
Okay. Yes, that's good to know, too.
Unless she becomes a felon.
Exactly, right. No, that's a great point. Hey, Brad, thank you so much for the call. Have a great day. Great point. Again, and we've said it. This is the third time now we've said it. All these immigration raids, yes, they are targeting hundreds of undocumented immigrants. But to your point, Esmeralda, this is a very gray area because you are rounding up people who were brought here very young. I don't want to say rounding up, but you're finding people mm-hmm. who came here very young. And at 14, you can't really get in the car and go get a driver's license. You can't say, oh, you know what? I'm 14. I need to be here legally. So this is it's just a whole new can of worms,
yeah.
I think.
And
that...
we have a text, and I want to address this, from the 262. Quit covering up the fact they are illegally here. Our country was founded on legal immigration. And see, now I have an issue with that because... Yes, the country was founded on legal immigration because everyone just came in.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing of people are like, you can come in. No, they can't. No, it was you come over, sign you up, and you come in.
But there was a waiting period. Like, they had to go through Ellis Island. Like, my grandparents,
right.
You know, they came over, Craig's wife. I mean, you had to come, and there was a process, and you had to file the paperwork, and you basically had to raise your hand and say, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I need to follow up on the paperwork. It's not like you came over in a van. So I see that sign, that side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's just so many asterisks that are going on right here. Diane, hey, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to relate a story about a college classmate of mine from about 10 years ago. She had been born here. Her parents were here illegally for 20-something years. So we were talking and she was mentioning how they go back home 3 times a year to visit family.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if they can do that and they can afford to send money home, why don't they just start the process on one of the visits? Well, they did. And 3 years later, they had legal papers to be here. So even when it's a situation like this where decades have been here, if the people are able to travel freely back home and come back here to their jobs, they can correct the situation. And I hope that more people will think of that and take advantage of it because it could really make things easier for so many.
Great, great, great point, Diane. Really good point.
Well, that's it. Thank you, lady.
Hey, thank you very much. We appreciate the call. We'll take a few more here before we have to break. 312-981-7200 is our number. Let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just wanted to say, too, that the ones that have come in here, like this past lady said, the ones that have come in here and the children were born after they came here illegally, those are the situations that they should seriously look into, because right. the children are citizens and they are not. But what we need to do is, there are a lot of illegals, especially, I had a son that got into drugs. They brought drugs into this country. There have been parents who have lost children due to drugs. And it's the illegal ones that are doing the damage that they need to deport. In 2013, in November of 2013, CNN reported that there were 11 million Americans out of work.
Okay.
At that time, that was what President Obama was talking about, making citizens. The thing of it is also is that they're taking our jobs. And I said, and there's not a lot, there's a lot of Americans that were born here, have not come from other countries, who don't have jobs. But and these refugees are coming here, taking our jobs, and like you said, just said too, that lady said, sending the money back home.
Well, and my question is, who is to blame that they're taking the jobs? They're not just grabbing a job. You know what I mean?
But they're coming here for the jobs. If they're coming
right,
here
but someone's
illegally,
hiring
yes.
them.
If they're coming, well, then we need to look into the companies.
That's true.
Because
that's
of,
yes.
Because of the fact that we've got to do something about the Americans and having jobs and everything, because, you know, as a taxpayer, we can't, we're all taxpayers. We can't afford to support all these people who are out of jobs. And then it aggravates me when they sit there and they say, oh, an American, you know, a Mexican will do the landscaping jobs and stuff like that, but an American won't. Well, then, you know what? If an American won't, then he doesn't eat as much as well as the regular people who work on jobs.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Mary, thank you so much for the call. I think all of this really has to be re-looked at, and President Obama did start a lot of this mm-hmm. as well. President Clinton, I mean, this has always been a hot topic. It's always going to be, no matter who's president. But I think it just came to the forefront again with the immigration ban yeah. and now with all these raids being conducted. So there needs to be an overhaul of the system and more accountability. You know, it is an interesting point. Yeah, people are, you know, you're criticizing the workers coming here illegally looking for work, but then there's people hiring them.
Right. There's people hiring them and then hiring them at lower wages because they know they can take advantage.
Absolutely.
Which it's that's something that needs to be looked at as well.
Absolutely. We're talking immigration. Lightening it up on a Saturday here. Esmeralda Leon, Andrea Darlis here with you until 3 o'clock. Quick break and back after this on WGN. Just a few minutes before 2 o'clock, 720 WGN, Esmeralda Leon, Andrea Darlis with Hello. You until 3 o'clock, holding down the afternoon fort. Happy Saturday to you. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather.
It's kind of gloomy, but it's like a bright gloomy.
40-something degrees this afternoon.
Yeah.
Very happy about that.
I was skipping out of my house.
I was too.
I was like, it's so warm out here.
Skipping into my car. We're talking about the immigration enforcement raids that happened in at least six states, including Illinois. Want to take a few more of your calls as long as we can here. And thanks for joining us today. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You know, I really just wanted to call in and say that I know you had the texter who said, you know, they're illegal, get them out. I just want to say that they don't understand that there are real people behind this. I had students, I ran a beauty school. I had students 16, 17 years old that did not know that they were illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They would sob in my office because they couldn't go to school without a Social Security number.
Right.
Their parents would come in without them and say, please don't tell them, please don't tell them. So it is a lot of gray area. These right. poor children had no idea.
Right, and now they're growing up and they're faced right. with this situation and right now.
The problem is their parents weren't asking for a free education.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They weren't asking for financial aid. They just didn't want to admit what they did. So I think that there's a lot of fear.
I think you hit the nail right on the head.
A little compassion.
Yep. Valerie, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. Have a little bit of compassion. Just understand right. the situation and educate yourself on the situation, because there's not a right group and there's not a wrong group
yeah.
when you
it's
come like, with
just this. Just try to put yourself in those shoes. Just try to put yourself in their shoes. Let's
do one more here. 312-981-7200. Mike, thanks for calling and thanks for waiting. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
I just kind of wanted to respond to one of those last callers who kind of brought up all of the untrue, ugly talking points that you hear in this discussion. Mm-hmm. The idea that they take our jobs, how would that be true if the unemployment rates are so low in the areas of the country with the most illegal immigrant populations, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the areas with the highest illegal immigrant populations are the most productive areas of our economy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So, on top of that, to blame your son's drug addiction on illegal immigrants as if they wouldn't have gotten drugs anywhere else, that's just, this is where this debate just gets really kind of ugly and fact-free.
Right. Yeah.
And,
right.
I don't know. There's just too much about this. If you talk to any economist, they're going to tell you that growing a population is the easiest way to grow an economy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's a great point.
Every one of those people is going to be a customer for a business. Every one of those people is going to be the potential to start a business.
Or spend money. Sure. Everybody's going to spend money. I mean, either we're going to pay taxes, we're going to go eat at a restaurant, we're going to buy groceries.
Sales taxes.
So, yeah. Mike, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody who chimed in on this. I'm sorry that, we're up against the clock here. We ran out of time. But great dialogue, great discussion. This is not going to be the end of it. And no matter what side you fall on, I would just say make sure, you educate yourself on both sides so you can form an opinion and then go from there. That's what we're all about, having a healthy dialogue. Back with the news after this. 720 WGN. 211-720 WGN. Thank you so much for being with us. Andrea Darlis, Esmeralda Leon. Craig Collins is producing for us today. We're having a little late lunch in studio. Pizza.
Robert's Pizza Company brought us heart-shaped pizzas because they're going to be serving those on Valentine's Day. Who doesn't want a heart-shaped pizza?
And these are delicious. Yes. They sent us the margarita pizza.
They're delicious. 355 East Ohio. So go there for Valentine's Day and share it. We shared it sort of in
we
a picture.
We kind of shared it. Yeah, with each
we
other.
We did it Lady and the Tramp style.
We did. We shared it with each other. But you know what? This is a great gift for if guys have forgotten. Not that any guy out there has, wink, wink. But this is a great way to say, hey, baby.
I like you. Have some pizza.
Some Valentine's
Day
pizza.
Have some carbs.
Right. All right. Speaking of Valentine's Day, a lot of people getting on Match.com or Tinder or maybe looking on some dating sites or even getting soliciting emails. You got to watch out for these. A lot of these are scams. So we went right to the top, right to the best. Special Agent Garrett Kroon with the FBI joins us to talk a little bit about some of these scams that are out there. Good afternoon, Garrett.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for being with us. All right, so what are these Valentine's Day scams?
Let me tell you. Initially, when I presented this to my boss, he thought the FBI were going to talk about Valentine's Day and romance scams. And then I told him the numbers, and he said, we got to do this.
Yeah.
So millions of Americans are visiting these online dating websites every year, hoping to find a companion. But the FBI is here to tell you criminals are also trolling these websites, looking to turn the lonely and the vulnerable into fast money. And these criminals know how to do that. They're targeting people that are vulnerable people, and the demographic age group that we see that is targeted the most are females 40 to 60 years old who are divorced, widowed, disabled. These criminals are trolling these websites, usually claiming to be working overseas, an American working overseas, which is completely false. They live overseas. And here's how the scam works. You're contacted online by someone who appears interested in you. And he or she may have a profile. You can read a picture or read their profile or the person will email you a picture and it looks like a glamour shot photo, which is completely false. And for days or weeks, maybe even months, you'll chat back and forth with this person, really thinking you formed a connection. This person may even send you a card or flowers, and then wham. When you make the request to say, why don't we meet in person so I could see you? Well, then that's when the request for cash comes in and the hardships. Well, I'm working overseas and my visa expired. Could you send me $1,200? Or, gosh, I'd love to come see you, but my car broke down. I need about $500 to fix it. and you find yourself in a position sending this person money, and that person never has intention on meeting you at all.
No, and the numbers are crazy. The numbers that you sent us in 2015, in Illinois alone, these victims, due to these romance scams, lost almost $5 million.
Yeah. Just in Illinois, nationwide, the loss statistic was just over $203 million sent to people that you never even met, but thinking you have a connection with that person. So the FBI is taking this opportunity now, Valentine's Day around the corner, telling people, beware, keep your money in your pocket. And I'll say this, I've been in the FBI 20 years, and I've interviewed lots and lots of victims from bank robberies and fugitive cases. In most instances, me or my law enforcement partners can effect some kind of investigation to arrest the bad guy and convict him. But when somebody sits in front of us or calls the FBI and says, I've been sending money overseas, or I've been sending money to someone through a wire service who I've never met before, and now this person has just stopped talking to me. That's a really difficult situation to try to get that money back for that victim. It's almost near impossible.
And they target you through email, too. I mean, think of how many emails we all get every single day. Mm-hmm. Why would it be odd? You know, why would you think otherwise if somebody sends you something, especially, right, Garrett, if they're talking about love or specific interests, like, oh, I know you like to play tennis or whatever it might be.
Yeah, how simple is that? Just to send that inquiry to somebody and say, wow, I saw your profile. I think you're great. Then the first red flag is that person will try to move you away from that website onto a single email system or instant messaging system. That's a red flag. Instantly professes their love for you. That's a red flag. And then third, when you ask for a photograph, to say, hey, I want to see what you look like, and they send you a glamour shot photograph. That's a red flag. And then eventually, as all these factors come into play, he'll ask you or she'll ask you for money.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, if somebody gets something like this, again, I'm sure you would probably say, don't feel silly, don't feel stupid, call us. What should somebody do if they get one of these inquiries?
And let me tell you, that's a great point. The website IC3.gov, it's an FBI-controlled website, and it's established for fraud claims like this. You go to IC3.gov, put in the information as much as you can for the person you've been speaking with online. Now, you can remain anonymous, but we want to know your information for a couple of reasons. One, we will try to effect charges on the person who has wronged you in taking your cash. But two, we need accurate statistics. The Illinois loss amount in 2015, $4.6 million, well, that's what we know about.
Yeah.
How many people are too embarrassed or ashamed to notify law enforcement to say, wow, I really thought that person loved me, and now I'm out thousands of dollars. I can't come forward with that. We need to get the word out to the people, to the citizens of the United States, stop sending money to people you don't know.
Now, is it only when you become a victim, you can go to the website? Or what if you are with, you know, you're talking to someone, and you're like, this seems a little fishy. Can you maybe go to that website and see if anything, they can check on it in some way?
Certainly. You can go to IC3.gov, and it's a pretty self-sufficient website where you can input your information and gather information. There's other private websites available for romance scams. However, we encourage the person who is the true victim, call us at the FBI or call your local law enforcement. Tell us what's going on so we can try to put charges on the bad guy.
Yeah, and like you said too, Garrett, I think one of the greatest points is don't be embarrassed or don't feel silly. It's almost like if you get scammed at a business, you know, if you go in and they overcharge you, or identity theft, you know, mm-hmm. just make that phone call,
yeah,
because you can save yourself, maybe recoup some of your losses and help others in the process so they don't fall victim too.
That's right. You know, and we've had these investigations before, and like I said, when people come into our office, and I've had it, I've had a lady sit in front of me who said to me, she said, I have been sending this company money, and I really thought they were going to come through, and it's just thousands of dollars. Then you look at the wire transfers, and it's somewhere overseas, and I mean, we look at that person, and we think, boy, getting your money back is going to be slim. It's important to get the word out, especially as Valentine's Day rolls around. People are probably becoming more vulnerable and looking for someone in their life. Don't fall victim, because criminals know this as well.
And, Garrett, don't listen to your bosses. When we think Valentine's Day and romance, we think the FBI.
Yeah.
That's what I kept telling.
See? Hey, thanks, Garrett.
Good time. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Happy Valentine's Day. Have a great rest of your weekend. That is Garrett Kroon, special agent with the FBI. Again, that website, great point too, Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. IC3, I, the letter C, and then the numerical 3.gov.
And then I love this text real quick from 312. I think any guy asking for money in an online relationship, real person or not, should be dumped. Yeah. Kind of like that, yeah.
Like the dating game. Yeah,
it's like,
goodbye.
No, man. I don't have money.
It's 220. We'll be back after this. 720 WGN. 223, 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Andrea Darlis
Hello.
With you until 3 o'clock. So that guy who texted before who said dump, you know, if some guy's asking for money, dump
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a guy one time I dated in college, and he lived in the north suburbs. I lived in the south suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come home for break, you know, either through for summer or for winter break.
Okay.
And we'd see each other. He would ask me for gas money.
No.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, buddy.
And then when we broke up, all my friends were like, congratulations, good for you. And I went, why
Wait, did
didn't
you
any-
give him the money?
No. Thank God. My father, God rest his soul, who never had an enemy in his life. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to have a talk with that boy. I'm going to have a talk with that kid. Yeah. No, I didn't give him the money, but I couldn't believe that he had asked. You know, have you ever gotten
Did he give any reason?
No,
was he just like, come on, because I'm seeing you.
Yeah.
I'm spending the money.
He was a little arrogant, and he thought that I should pay his gas money,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think anyone should pay anyone's gas money
right.
if you're in a relationship, unless, you know, you're visiting someone and he's got the greatest job on the planet and he's going to fly you to his home
there you
in
go.
Paris or something. But have you ever gotten
just can take a train. No.
A crummy Valentine's Day gift?
Oh.
Wait, let's see. We only have about 20,
I know,
25
yeah.
more minutes.
Where should I begin? No, I've gotten just, you know what? I get sometimes jewelry. I've gotten jewelry.
And you don't like
and
that?
And it makes no sense.
Really?
Because it was just like a thing of like, how does this even, like, I don't know why you think I would like this.
So you're not a jewelry person.
I am, but, you know, certain things. And it's kind of like they just missed the mark completely. It's like, cool.
So you could always give me jewelry.
Thanks.
I would love jewelry. And
just
if
any?
Yeah, I love earrings and rings. Yeah, pretty much any jewelry. But if I don't like it, are you offended if somebody takes something back?
Well, like,
like just returns, like doesn't like it and goes to the store and gets something
and they
completely
tell me?
Different. Yeah.
Just don't tell me.
Oh, so you don't want to know. Yeah, I think I'm kind of like that too.
Lie to me. Lie through your teeth that, yeah, no, it's in my house somewhere. I just forgot to put it on.
Craig, have you ever bought your wife something and she has returned it because she didn't like it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
She hasn't. No.
Not that she's told you.
It's funny, you guys said, have you ever given or gotten a bad gift?
Yeah.
I've given one, apparently. I had a girlfriend in college that I gave her a necklace that was like her birthstone.
Aww.
And I thought it was cool. And then I handed it to her, and we're on our way to dinner, and she goes, I prefer diamonds, just so you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was that kind of situation.
Okay.
And then the whole ride, I'm like, well, I can't afford diamonds, so I guess I'll return it and get you nothing.
Did you?
No, I got her a diamond necklace.
Yeah.
What?
I was whipped. I'm a whipped man. I was whipped at the point.
You're such a nice
guy.
No,
I know, but it was terrible, because you're driving to the restaurant to buy a nice dinner, and she's objecting to the gift that it's not fancy enough.
See, I couldn't.
Should have just dropped her off.
I couldn't even say that. I can't
later.
Even go to a restaurant. And if they bring something out I don't like, I can't even return it.
No, I'm
because I don't
nice
want to be
that
mean.
Way too.
I'll just either not eat it, but I just won't. I'll feel bad because you know they prepared it, and I don't want to be a complainer.
Yeah,
but
I don't complain. I don't do anything because I don't want my food get spit on. That's
you
my
think
fear.
Do that?
I don't know. I would.
You would.
I don't work
not.
In any restaurants. So
get yeah. So everybody
no
out there listening, you're safe. Do you think that they really?
I don't know. They could do something. You don't know. It's back there, and you're being all annoying and complainy.
I would love to get a call from someone, obviously, who can remain completely anonymous and just tell us if they do anything. Like, if you get a cranky customer or someone who just, you know, like maybe a recurring customer, someone who just comes in and complains, and if they do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe not spit in it, but do something to
it. I won't even, if I know a restaurant, so say a restaurant closes at 10, if it's 9:30, I'm like, no, forget it. I'm not going in there because I don't want to inconvenience them. Oh, see, they're about to close.
All right, see, that's where I'll draw the line. I will. I'll be like, oh, it's 9:58. Good. We have 2 minutes until the kitchen closes.
Oh, my God. Like, no, I won't. I'm just like, I can't. No, I feel so bad.
That's why they send my food out raw. Because they know that I won't complain about it.
Yeah, I just can't. There's just certain things. And there's a lot of people. Yeah, I'll go out with people. Like, no, it's still open. I'm like, yeah, but they're cleaning up and they're doing things. I don't.
Andrea,
I feel awful.
Do you get mad then when the door's locked 2 or 3 minutes early?
Oh, always. Yeah, there was an ice
you
cream
shake
place.
It open, you're like, come
yeah
on.
There's an ice cream place that I love in the south suburbs, and I'm not gonna throw them under the bus because it's one of my favorite ice cream places, but it says they close at 9:30. And I will get there, you know, because I'm always running late. I'll get there at 9:20 sometimes and it's closed. I'm like, your hours say 9:30.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
you
that's
should
bogus.
Yeah,
because ice cream is easily scoopable and you can rinse those scoops
yes
out.
And it's in a cone. They're not even putting it like in yeah a plate that they're gonna have to clean.
I mean, they just throw it in my hands, it's fine.
Yeah, just give me the cone and leave. And I love this place, and I will specifically drive south to go to this place. And when they're not open, that burns me, you know. If it's 9:30 and you lock the door and I'm running up, you know, hey, too bad, so sad for me. It's 9:30. You're closed.
Yeah. Exactly.
But don't close 15 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, that is way too long.
We're getting a lot of calls. No. Craig is actually, can we take one of these real quick before we go to news, Craig? 312-981-7200 is our number. Hi, Dave. Now, are you a chef?
I'm a retired chef for 30 years.
Okay. Just tell us again.
No one that I know of or ever work with has ever maliciously done anything to anybody's food.
Okay.
Even if someone was a real jerk?
Yeah, the customer is supposed to always be right. We do cuss under our breath. We do a little bit of cussing, but we don't do anything to the food. That's most unprofessional.
You are
that's
the best. Thank
true
you, Dave. You've given me peace of mind. Thank
that's
you.
And when people come in right before closing, it does annoy us, but you got to. I've been dealing with it for over 30 years. What are you going to do?
You're a good man,
you're
Dave.
Till, yeah. You're open till 11. You're open till 11, right?
You're a good man. You've restored my faith in everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
It
all right.
This goes to show that I shouldn't work in the restaurant business because I'm spitting in people's food.
We're going to take one more. You might be able to relate to this one. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hi. So I worked at a McDonald's. Actually, it was the Champaign-Urbana McDonald's.
Oh, I went to school. I went to school at U of I, so
uh-oh
probably saw
yeah
you down there.
It was the Green Street McDonald's.
I know the one.
And there was a guy on the football team. Okay, football team from 1971, listen up.
Uh-oh.
You ate a ladybug.
They're good for you, protein.
He would come in. He was a big jock, so he'd order, like, 2 Big Macs and fries and a drink. This is back, remember when the customer was always right in
yes
the 60s and 70s? So he would eat 1 3/4 Big Macs. Then he would come up and tell the manager that they weren't cooked enough. And the manager, and the customer's always right, he would tell us to give him 2 new ones.
Oh.
So I happened to have been in the back, and I found a ladybug. And I said, hey, look, I found the ladybug. And Max said, hey, give it to me.
Oh, no.
So we put that sucker in the Big Mac, and we gave it to the guy.
And he ate it.
It's protein.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, a little protein, Joe.
Gives a good crunch.
So, hey, football team from 1971, were you that guy? You ate a ladybug, dude.
Oh, way to go. ILL, Joe.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Anyway,
hey,
have a great day.
Great. Thank you so much for the call. All right. Joe has unrestored our faith in society, and Dave
has restored
it. Although
they do say you eat, like, at least 3 bugs
a year.
Yeah. So he just had one extra. That's all.
I was just curious. All right. It's 2:31. Sorry, Bob. We're a little late to you, but, you know, we're talking about ladybugs and food. You know, what are you going to do? I feel better when I'm dancing.
You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon, and I'm here with Andrea Darlis. We're here until 3 o'clock, and we have the Volunteer Expo, co-founder and assistant director for education at the Chicago Academy of Sciences and the Peggy Notobart Nature Museum. It's Sarah Anderson. And then Janae Myers of Chicago Cares.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, guys. And we're going to talk about the Volunteer Expo. I'm super excited about this. I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, I want to go. I'm going. I signed up. I registered.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us here. We're really excited to get the word out about the 5th annual Chicago Volunteer Expo, where it's a really a one-stop shop where folks can come and meet over 100 different nonprofit organizations and find the cause that's best for them so they can get started volunteering.
That's amazing. It's at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum, correct?
Yes, on Sunday, February 26th from 10 to 4.
Go ahead.
It's free for anyone to attend, and you will be able to walk around and talk to all these different organizations and learn about the volunteering opportunities that they have and find the ones that connect best for you. But it's really kind of runs the gamut of issue areas from education to youth, social justice, environment, any issue that you're interested in, there's an opportunity for you.
I love this museum. I mean, if you haven't been to the Nature Museum, it's right off, it's right by the zoo. It's off of Fullerton and
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And you can take several bus routes, really easy to get there, public transportation. And once you arrive, it's free for you to attend and visit all of those different organizations. And you're also welcome to explore the Nature Museum and see the exhibits as well.
A couple days before the Volunteer Expo, you have an event coming up. You have a lot of really cool programs. And one just a few days before features basically on Lake Michigan.
Absolutely. It's really a way for people to start the conversation about the amazing renewable resource that we have right here in our backyard, Lake Michigan, and learn more from experts in the field about the issues surrounding our water resources.
So you could go to that and then go to the Volunteer Expo and so you'd be like, I want to help Lake Michigan. What can I do? Who's there?
Absolutely. And so there's lots of volunteering opportunities at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum. We rely on volunteers to help us reach our mission of creating a positive relationship with the urban nature and science around us. And so volunteers at the Nature Museum can help us walk our turtles, care for our living butterflies, or help preserve our 160-year-old collection.
Wait, what? Would you walk turtles?
Yes, that's a real
thing.
What does that mean? They need exercise,
too. With leashes?
No, they don't require leashes because they're not very fast, so you just have to make sure they don't get stepped on while
they're
in the museum.
Have you seen the butterfly exhibit there?
No, I won't go in.
Oh, get out!
I'm kind of freaked out by, like, I don't want them on me.
I'm not a fan of I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Sarah, but I'm not a fan of bugs, but I love this butterfly exhibit. It's so cool. They, all right, I'm going to say this. You're going to freak out.
From afar.
They land on you.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Oh, it's so awesome.
No, it is an immersive experience for sure. But there are windows that you can peek in if you're not quite ready
for
the full experience.
I'll do
that.
For
sure. Janae, let's talk about Chicago Cares. I mean, I know you have several big events every year, but the one in Daly Plaza where everybody shows up and spends the day volunteering, that has got to make you feel incredible.
Oh, it is. It's just such a force to get yourself around about 5,000 other Chicagoans, and we welcome more. So sign up. It's in June when the weather's nice. And then we all go out across the city, mostly to Chicago Public Schools, doing a ton of revitalization work. And I mean, we've all heard what's happening right now with Chicago Public Schools, the budget cuts and the problems. So getting that kind of sweat equity out to the schools is so incredible and critical. And part of what Chicago Cares does is not just do the actual work and the volunteering, but it's really about getting you out into the community and connecting with people, right? It's about meeting people you've never met before from different demographics, different backgrounds, and having, you know, conversations about your commonalities, you know, folks who are parents, like I'm a parent, you're a parent. Oh gosh, wait, our kids are so similar, but yet we live in different zip codes and we're from different communities. I think once you meet people face to face, you start to really see that. So I think volunteering is such a great platform to do that, whether it's with Chicago Cares or with one of these other agencies across the city that's going to be at the Volunteer Expo.
Volunteering just makes you feel so good. I know we cover these stories all the time, but just hearing and talking to people who are like painting the hallway of a school or cleaning up the playground, you know, just that, you know, 2 hours goes a long way.
Totally. And it does something for you as a person, how you feel like, okay, I'm giving back, I'm contributing. But it also is, you know, having an environment that is clean and inviting, that's so important for all of our students and our community. I mean, we're sitting here on Michigan Avenue and it's beautiful, it's clean. That makes a difference, right? All these kind of things are just absolutely key for us to be doing.
You'll love this. My godson is almost 6 years. He actually just turned six. And last year we were walking through the park and he was going through and picking up all of the, you know, the litter. The people had thrown plastic bottles, water bottles on the ground. He was putting them in the garbage. I said, that's really nice that you're doing that. And he said, Andrea, we have to clean up the earth.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's adorable.
And he's six. Yes.
And if you go to the expo, is there age limits or do they kind of, you know, do you have to be a certain age?
No, it's open for all ages. And we have over 100 different organizations that are going to be there, and they have volunteering opportunities that range from children to teenagers to adults and seniors as well, thinking about how they can use their expertise and give back to the community as well. One organization in particular focuses in on supporting families that want to volunteer, especially with young children, called the Honeycomb Project, which is an amazing organization that supports and organizes events that are appropriate for families so that our youngest generation can feel that connection and empowerment to, you know, help their community be stronger.
Oh, that's awesome.
Can people volunteer their skills too? I mean, like if there's a handyman or someone is really good at, you know, doing something, can they volunteer their skills?
Yes, and an accountant or a lawyer, right? Anybody, everyone's got skills. It's just a matter of what that is and then how can you utilize that. And guarantee you there's an organization that can use that. So something sometimes often people don't think about is that these nonprofit organizations are just very low on capacity. So even getting someone to do background kind of office help is huge. That's kind of, you know, pro bono volunteering or skills-based volunteering. That's of help, you know, coming up with a strategic plan or a marketing plan, you know, helping out with putting together spreadsheets and pivot tables. I needed somebody to help me with dashboards this week and got somebody from Deloitte, like, in an hour and a half. She, like, came up with some dashboards so fast. I couldn't have done it, like an Excel genius, right? Those kinds of things are incredibly important. So, yes, there are all kinds of ways to volunteer and give your time.
Yeah, and I would say, too, don't be scared. I just started the process of volunteering. I'm doing, in my neighborhood, I'm in Albany Park. And I'm going to be the Albany Park Community Center, and I'm going to do ESL tutoring for adults. It's frightening because I'm like, I don't know how to teach people. And they're like, no, it's, you know, it's a thing. You'll figure it out. Yep. It's a great thing because you're going to be, well, one, I'm going to be more into my community,
yes,
which in my neighborhood, and I get to meet people in my neighborhood, which I don't really do. So it's a great opportunity. And yeah, don't let the fear take over, especially with this volunteer expo. I love that you can, you know, maybe you're not into tutoring someone, but maybe you do want to go clean a park up or do something like that. I love that you can find all that at the volunteer expo.
Yeah, and on Sunday the 26th from 10 to 4, when you're visiting these organizations, you'll really have the chance to start those conversations and realize the opportunities are out there. We've heard lots of people say that they never thought they would have volunteered for an animal rescue because they don't really like dogs or what have you, but they can help them with their social media, or they can help them with their office work, or they can help get the word out. And so these organizations are really excited to capitalize on the motivation of the Chicagoans and put it to good use.
Yeah. And again, when is the expo?
It's at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum on Sunday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And when you're there at the event, not only will you be talking to these organizations, there's a really cool opportunity to volunteer on the spot. We call it speed volunteering.
Oh, fun.
So it's with an organization called New Life for Old Bags, where you actually learn how to upcycle or recycle plastic garbage bags into crochet yarn, and that is crocheted into sleeping mats that are distributed to people who are experiencing homelessness.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a recycling project, it's a community building project, because you're working together with your hands to crochet these sleeping mats, and then you're helping people in need as well. So
it's like 3-in-1.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you have to go to the website? I think you have to sign up. Is that a thing, or can you just walk in?
You can walk in day of, but we would love for you to visit our Facebook page or our website so you can see the list of all the organizations that are going to be there. And so you can also start to get an idea of who you're interested in starting a conversation with, because with 100 organizations there, that's a lot of people to talk to. So if you come in
with a plan.
Yes, and a great attitude and ready to start those conversations, you're going to make the most out of it. You can reserve a free ticket on Eventbrite if you choose. That would be great.
Okay. And Chicago Cares, too. If you want to go to the website, your big event is in June as well.
In June as well, chicagocares.org. And registration will open in April for that.
Get out there and volunteer.
Volunteer, everybody.
You got to do it. Thank you so much for being
yes,
here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janae Myers with Chicago Cares and Sarah Anderson with the Notabart Nature Museum. We'll see you at the end of the month.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. More after this on 720 WGN. Like 2:51 in the afternoon. Andrea Dartless, Esmeralda Leon here with you.
Can I say yes. how, and it so, sounds so awful, how smug you can feel when you volunteer?
Oh, I know.
It just makes me like, no, I'm helping my fellow man.
It's so cool because, like she said too, you could paint. You can go to a senior center and hang out with a senior.
Yeah.
You know,
you can go clean stuff. You can, read to someone. I'm going to tutor. I don't know.
You'd be a fun tutor. I could see you tutoring.
It's going to be so scary. And they, like, that when they were talking to us about it, they're like, yeah, some people will be in certain levels of how much they know English, and then some will know nothing. So you have to do like with your hands and right. point to things. And it's like, oh, that kind of sounds fun.
And you know, they're all going to say, every time you learn a language, a mm-hmm. different language, you'll say, you know, teach me the bad words. Teach me this. No.
It's like someone will teach you that. I'm not here for that.
My friend, her grandmother was from Sicily, and she mm-hmm. told me what I thought at the time was, hello, how are you? And she said, go up to my grandmother and say this. And I did. And her grandma went, oh, Gina, to my friend. It meant, I'm going to try and phrase this as nice as possible.
Yeah, what's the PG version?
You are a, how about a prostitute?
Oh, cool.
That would be like a nice way to say it.
I love that. Great.
I said, thank you so much,
Grandma.
And you know what the worst part is? I still remember how to say it, too.
Oh, of course.
Which I won't, but.
It sticks in your brain. It gets in there.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Do you do any, are you a Valentine's Day liker or a Scrooge?
I hate it.
See, I love it.
I think it's lame.
No, I love Valentine's Day.
You should be doing Valentine's Day things all throughout the year.
You know, you sound like David Kaplan. He was always like, I'm not buying my wife anything. We celebrate Valentine's Day 364 days
yeah.
a year.
Although I'm going to do, with my birthday, we're going to have just like a night.
We have dinner.
Yeah, we're going to stay in, make dinner, watch a movie, mm-hmm. and do that. And that'll be our Valentine's
Netflix
Day.
And chill.
Yeah.
Is that
well, okay.
Okay, wait. Here's me. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, oh, Netflix. I watched it on the treadmill.
And I chill.
And I love to chill.
No, Andrea. It means a little something different. But...
It means sex.
Well,
I mean,
yes, Andrea.
Come on, Craig, did you know this?
All right.
I didn't know.
I'm surprised we just explained it so specifically.
Yeah,
yes.
I was trying to beat around the bush.
There's people out there who were thanking me. There's people out there who don't know a cake by the ocean. They think they're having like a birthday cake.
Wait,
by
what?
The Pacific.
I don't know that one. I
yeah,
actually
what
have never
that
heard that.
Mean?
Oh, I'm going to school you guys.
Are we going to learn? We're learning things.
Cake
now.
By the ocean means what Netflix and chill does.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody ever invites me to cake by the ocean, I should say no?
No, you should say yeah. Or you're married.
Right.
Unless Betty says to you, hey, honey, let's go cake by the ocean.
That's such a tempting fake one because I'd love to have cake by an ocean.
Right? And you would also, you would also think, like, well, are we going to take a trip then?
What kind of cake? We got to discuss the cake first.
Yeah, that too. Like, are we getting it first and then going to the ocean?
If you're expecting like a red velvet or, like a triple fudge.
Maybe an ice cream would be fun by the ocean.
I don't
know.
Cheesecake.
And you show up and I guess you'd be happy either way, depending on your relationship.
This is not what I thought it was going to be.
Right. We were going to talk crazy Valentine's Day gifts, which I guess we can still do. Flowers, candy.
I mean, that would be a crazy Valentine's Day gift.
Do you get your man something?
No.
No
whatever.
Present.
I just all throughout the year, I don't like getting stuff because I'm just kind of weirded out. Because usually it's like big old bears and things. I'm like, no, thank you.
Big old bears? You mean like stuffed teddy bears?
Real ones.
And what?
Cages. No.
Craig, what do guys like to get?
I don't get anything. I take my wife out for dinner and then I usually get her flowers the day of. But we do dinner before the actual day, so it's not as crowded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Right. Reservations are insane.
I know, and the price is always higher or something. It's always weirder. So we'll go like a week before, and then I always buy roses because I can't help it. When you go to a store on Valentine's Day, you have to buy
those.
They're
so pretty.
Yeah.
That's nice. And if you go a few days before, they're always cheaper. I always laugh if I go to the grocery store and I see guys in the store, and they're just, the a bouquet of roses is $50. or 30 when it's normally 15.
Yeah. My favorite is when you see them at Walgreens and 7-Elevens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's last ditch.
Oh, and by the way, like, it's 9 o'clock at night and there's like one rose left.
There's one
that's
last
my favorite
one.
Guy, yeah.
Right.
Be like, one rose for my special lady.
Exactly.
No, it's because you didn't buy them on time, isn't it? That's right. It.
So, ladies, yeah, you know, if you get a single rose, it's not, you know, this is all I need to show I
right.
love you.
I say you should get pizza. Like the one we get from Robert's company.
Yeah,
pizza.
Thanks to
Robert's Pizza Company.
For the heart-shaped pizza yeah, and honey butter fried
cute.
Chicken, too, is doing a Valentine's Day special.
Yeah. Could you imagine if someone goes like, hey, it's a heart-shaped pizza?
I would
right
melt.
Straight to my heart. To my heart.
I'm all about pizza and I'm all about heart-shaped. There were some, USA Today did a couple of funny gifts that you can give. Emoji cufflinks, a bouquet of meat. This would be
I
great
want
a
bouquet
for a guy.
Of meat.
Or you.
I want that. It's beef jerky, right? It's jerky.
It's
in the shape of hearts.
Jerky, salami, and other tasty meats that look like a bouquet. So instead of, you know, a rose, it'll be salami. Instead of tulip, it'll be
I'm
the jerky.
It.
$50. It's not bad at all.
I like it. And then they look like flowers.
Now I want something
cool.
for Valentine's
yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
I've never wanted something before.
Meat
bouquet
flowers.
Meat.
Meat flowers. Who doesn't like meat?
Right? Well, vegetarians.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
they don't like
by meat. The way, on that topic, I mean, I should eat healthier. I could never be a vegetarian. I just like meat too much.
Yeah.
I do. That's going to be a Nick show,
yep.
isn't it?
I just we'll, made we'll mark DiGilio. It. 256. No, I couldn't eat. I could do it, but I would just be real cranky all the time and real sad. Because I would want, like, across the street, we have the Purple Pig.
Oh, that place is great.
Come on. You walk by. I walk under it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Underground. Oh, my gosh. And the pig smells, the pork
I know.
Aromas. It's too much.
You're
I couldn't
gonna,
deal with it.
You're going to laugh. I like the smell of the Billy Goat. I love
yeah.
a good hamburger, a good greasy burger.
Have you seen they have burgers now? They're veggie burgers and they bleed.
No.
Yeah. They're
oh,
recreating,
God.
Yeah, they're recreating, so when you bite into it, it'll bleed. It's like beet juice or something.
Oh, God.
Real quick, we got a phone call from Dave. He couldn't stay on, but he said one flower means a lot, guys. Don't say it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, there you go.
One flower means the same
right.
as a dozen.
Dave's getting off work about
sure.
9 o'clock on Valentine's Day, going to the White Hen.
Better be the nicest flower you could ever see if it's going to be one. By the way, Amazon is doing free one-hour flower delivery for Valentine's Day, and it starts today. Up
oh,
until Valentine's Day.
Perfect.
And but you have to be an Amazon Prime member. But keep that in mind. If you're, you know, looking at the 7-Eleven, maybe you could do a delivery and it'll get to you in an hour or whatever.
That's perfect. See, don't say we didn't help everybody out there.
Right.
Celebrate Valentine's Day. All right, back after this to close it out. 720 WGN.